If you sync your podcast with a clap, I think you should lose the keys to your podcast.
You know, Nick, I don't disagree. Mm-hmm. It's January 8th, 2018, and don't... I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Nick Cease. And this is my podcast. I record here with my Emma Sang and my son, Big Six. Every segment in here has a story, and our use of harmonies of New Bloom has no price. One thing I've learned after 22 beers, you never know what is gonna caw, caw, through that bottle crow reborn, a Dota 2 podcast about Dota 2 on a podcast. And I'm Nick Cease.
Well, sir, I got this here Ursa set. I don't know if it's worth anything.
Does it have a cowboy hat?
It's not tradable, but it is giftable.
Well, I'm gonna have to call in my friend here, Surge, and he's gonna come down and take a look. Would that be okay?
Oh, sure. I'll just wait right here. Me and Jesse.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're gonna have to wait there for a little while, considering you know he has to come down here. So you don't mind just sitting around a pawn shop for a few hours, right?
I mean, if I'm unattended and there's no security cameras, no, sir.
You don't mind at all? Okay, there's definitely no cameras here. This will not be broadcast over the History Channel, I think, for some...
That's wonderful to hear. So, you know, God forsen-
yeah.
I knew you were an upstanding gentleman and would not mind me purloining a few items.
Okay, well, I will be right back. Hello,
joke's on him. I actually am not a Southerner, and also I'm not going to steal anything. Ha! So much for your entertainment television. I've ruined your show. This clip is super boring.
So should I go? I have some spreadsheets.
No, it's a Roche Hunter set.
It's the hat. Yeah, that's like $200. I'll give you like cool. 150.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Okay, I'll go write you up.
Cool. Is that tax deductible or?
The tax to, I mean, you're selling me something, right?
Yeah.
Are you saying I'm a charity case here? My business is a charity case? You think?
I just don't know the laws.
I mean, we're on the fucking strip here. You know, it's the rent isn't exactly low. This is prime real estate here. Location. It's free real estate.
I didn't mean no insult. I know a lot of very nice churches that are in very prominent locations, and I just wonder if you consider this a place of worship.
I do bow down to the almighty dollar, actually. So I think it's tax deductible.
Perfect.
I will, as soon as the government opens, make sure that they give you your tax return. However you actually do deduct that kind of thing, I will make sure it happens. I will go to Mount Rushmore, the capital of the United States of America, and I will shout it from the hilltops.
You step into Thomas Jefferson's mouth, and you're like, sir, I'm here to make a deposit. And then you draw your gun. And you said, actually, I meant a withdrawal because I'm robbing you. Sorry, I did that. Or I did that
I'm
going to
deposit this lead into your safe. Your safe is probably lead as well.
Your skull. There we go. Your skull. Unless you give me some money.
You know, I've heard that some people can't get no satisfaction. But if you're having that problem, I recommend tuning into this episode. Goes to the notes. 117 of Bottle Crow Reborn.
Do you recommend that, Nick? Because I think this is the worst intro we've ever done.
But can you... hold on. Turn around, walk out the door, and come back in with a better attitude about this podcast.
Hi, I'm Six. I'm back.
Oh, nice to meet you. Hi. Do you have something to sell for me?
It's January 8th, 2019.
Hey, we got all of the date right that time. Every
did
last
I say 2018 last time? No.
You might have. I don't know. I had meant to be... on my guard.
Judgmental.
Because I figured something. Got it. Yeah, judgmental too.
Speaking of judgmental, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Dota. I've been thinking.
Two thumbs down.
About Dota.
That's my final judgment. Okay.
And I am ready to publicly... I've told you in private, but I'm ready to publicly change my position.
It's happening.
Everyone has heard me talk about I'm here to play Dota and object to all the various side modes. As, like, being a waste of my time because I'm here for Dota, right?
Yeah. We know. You're the purist, right? You got to counter... Somebody has to be on the straight and narrow. Somebody has to uphold the traditions of Defense of the Ancients. And that's your role here.
And that hasn't changed. But, like, much like a legal court, I'm not here to change the law. I'm here to reinterpret it.
Interesting.
Because I think I still am here for Dota. I'm here for real-ass Dota. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, real-ass Dota, in the if you open up the Dota2.exe, is labeled Turbo for some reason. And then there's this other mode called Normal that's just slow and bad.
It's happened. It's happened this week. I think you played 4 Turbo games with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
And like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It was fun in a way that Dota hasn't been for me in months.
Like 4 out of 4 times, right? I think. I can't remember if we got smashed.
Like, we got smoked one of those games, but it was still a good time.
But how long did we spend being smoked? I think like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, 10 to 15 minutes were actually us being smoked. You know, there were some fumes before that, but we still had fun.
Turns out making me play a carry is a bad idea.
But it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Whenever anybody asks,
I can go safe lane Arc Warden all day. It's not a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, your Arc Warden was great. You were a Zuper Zet.
I definitely didn't like I think I only ever remembered to use my ult as I was panicking at like 50 HP, which was maybe not productive.
We did die a lot, but you know, it was fine. It wasn't like, indeed. Oh, this has been an hour-long Dota game and we died after this long, arduous Roche fight. It's just like, okay, well, let's have a few heroes go into Roche. And then I think some people showed up. We had a big fight around Roche. I don't even remember what happened. But it didn't leave like a black stain on my heart. You know?
You don't remember what happened because it's Turbo. You did every kind of action there is to take in Dota. You took numerous times and you had various results, but none of them were so dramatic that left you stained, that left you marred. You had your fun, or you had your like your moment of being like, huh, I guess we made some mistakes, and you moved on because it's a video game.
Yes. Listen, actually, hold on. Live, I'm going to go to Reddit. For some reason, listeners, I'm sure know that I use Reddit a lot. For some reason, I'm still on the Artifact subreddit from before the game was released. And I kind of semi-paid attention to it. I have just, there we go, unsubscribed from the Artifact subreddit because it is somehow worse than any other subreddit I've had the pleasure of paying attention to. I'm sure there's much worse ones. But boy, people are very negative about Artifact for, I think, very good reasons. But it's mostly like, hey guys, I don't think our game is very fun. And, you know, it sucks to see 10 of those posts. So I've just unsubscribed from that. But, you know, it got me thinking, seeing all those posts, like, hey, video games are supposed to be fun. If you're having fun in a video game, like, you know, over long term, not just like, you know, shooting, you know, that sweet, sweet turbo juice into your veins or something, then, like, I don't know, you're fine. Right?
Yeah. And I feel like, so when I played Dota before I was enlightened, I usually played all pick, right? Mm-hmm. And that's still not what pros play. Pros still play captain's mode. So there was always distance between me and them. And I think what I'm realizing is that's healthy. I don't need to play the pro mode.
Yeah, like a healthy separation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I still play some. I mostly just play like ranked party. I don't think I've played solo queue in like 1,000 yard stare, half a year at this point, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure it's been more recent than that, but it doesn't feel like it. Definitely been months. And I have you'd have to pay me to play a solo ranked. I guess I'll do it when the calibration comes, but like, I have zero or negative motivation to play solo queue. It's like, I'll either, you know, I don't, yeah, I would rather play a turbo than a solo queue. And so I still play regular, quote-unquote, you know, slow-da ranked party. But other than that, it's just like, you know, it's a toss-up. It's a 50-50. Are we going to do ranked turbo? Are we going to do ranked or turbo? I wish there was ranked turbo. Some days I feel like, you know, I talked about last time, I had that 8-game win streak in turbo. I feel like we should go to turbo TI. I feel like we deserve it.
I would watch Turbo TI.
Right.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if, this is a crazy thought, but what if it's actually better if Dota isn't like an endurance test?
I think it says more about the meta or, you know, possibly about ourselves and our tastes and, you know.
That's true.
Taste in video games or just time as you grow older or things change. But also, like, it says a shit ton about the meta to me. It really feels much better to play Turbo a lot of the time.
So earlier you were mentioning that you spent a lot of time on Reddit, right? And I spend a fair bit of time on Reddit myself, and I often on this podcast end up wagging my finger or chewing out Reddit, right? I'm here with a Reddit shout-out this week.
Nice. The rare six Reddit shout-out.
Reddit, you did a good job. So, first off, there is a Windranger set on the workshop, right? This Windranger set is, I forget, it's something about, like fucking, like, wind, like, or wood elves or whatever, right? It's some fucking, like, they, give her, thick thighs, some hips, and a bikini, right? And it's like, okay, sure. And someone posted, like, man, check this set out. It makes Windranger so much better. And part one of Reddit doing a good job is people in the comments were like, this is fucking stupid. Are you kidding me? Like, oh yeah, she just took her clothes off, so it's a better model. Like, granted, it is a better model just, like, objectively speaking, because it has, like, legs and arms that look like a human's, but the concept was trash, right?
Except for, I think, you know, probably at least 20% of the set is the bottle on her hip. You know, that's about, I think about 20% of the actual set is that bottle in terms of just raw pixels. So, you know, hey, bottles.
Bottles, right?
Bottles.
So that was ridiculed and that was good. But then Reddit took it a step further. And in the past couple of days, we've had several posts of people being like, hey, it's time to remodel Sniper. And then they just take a picture of Sniper's upper torso spliced onto these, like bikini legs or like Tidehunter. And thank you, Reddit. I appreciate it when you not only take the piss out of someone just being pointlessly horny. Listen, you can be horny with a purpose. I'm fine with that. But not only take a piss out of them, but also just be like, no, let's just drag their ass in public about how stupid this is.
Who wouldn't want to play Sniper with just like He-Man thunder thighs? Right? What hero could not be improved by, like, He-Man full-on thunder thighs? Like, imagine Nature's Prophet in the Fungal Lord cap set, and then he just has massive quads.
Or, like, I mean, with the Tidehunter one, we present an interesting possibility, right? Which is that people are cowards, because whenever they portray mermaids, they're like, oh, look, the upper half is, like, human with, like, arms and a face and stuff, but the lower half is fish. Flip it, you cowards. Flip it. Give me like a fish head with some sexy legs. You know?
Look at the curves on that Tidehunter. It's just an incredible upper torso. And then
it really is.
It's the same exact set of legs, but you know, between putting it on a Sniper and putting it on a Tidehunter, you know, a watermelon is already big and beefy. Like Tide needs to do more leg workouts, I guess.
Yeah. Get a be you know, context is everything.
It's great. I look forward to more of these in the upcoming days. I hope... Six.
Yes?
Do I have your blessing to Photoshop that one picture of fear with the thunder thighs?
You know what? Yes. Yes, you do.
Thank you. Okay. We'll see if I remember that by the end of the podcast. That's horrible. I'm vomiting.
It's too bad you can't like adjust the pose to make it
right?
match.
I might. That would I be might pretty actually perfect. Just like Photoshop each of the like joints so that you know one is sticking up, but I'll leave the bulge. I should stop.
This is a great idea. Well,
nice.
Anyway, that was a great segment, but let's talk about what's really going on in Dota, right?
Okay. I was going to say something. Nahaz posted something, I guess maybe just on the subreddit, about his thoughts on current Dota 2 public matches, and I think it's about like boosters or people ruining games or being toxic, but I can't access the post because the website went down. So we're just going to be more positive here. There's no issues with Dota 2 pubs. Congratulations.
Yeah, it does seem that the site is a little swamped right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also there's been a patch. They added a permanent gold stolen buff for Bounty Hunter Janata.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good. You can try to rack up your high score.
Yeah. No, I think it's a fun reminder of how unhappy you've made people and what a miserable little worm you are.
Exactly. That's great. Like, it's nothing better than as sniper, like stealing 100 int and just seeing how dumb your enemies are. It makes you a smart person for that. And a good.
I mean, so I think the next thing is, like, we need a counter that you can turn on the options, but everyone will, of how much unreliable gold you've stolen from people when you killed them.
Oh, yeah. Have you talked about that before? I feel like you're...
No. I mean, we've talked about unreliable gold being a weird thing, but never about, like, the idea of, like, here's your score of how much you've taken. And then, like, how about, like... If you block a camp in the enemy's jungle, ooh, then it's like, oh man, that was 75 gold you just took away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Or
we need more tracked stats. We have so many mm-hmm. tracked stats, but I feel like we need more.
On the enemy team, the Coddle player's name is Bongo Drongo 73. You've stolen a lifetime 125 MMR from him.
Right?
Would you like to send a message?
Would you like? Custom emote, 5 cents. Thank you, Gozo AI. That would be amazing. Just next level flaming, I guess, but like ribbing.
This wasn't one of my serious ideas, but I had the thought this week. Serious idea. I had the thought this week of there should be like two different Dotas. You know, like right now we have Dota 2 and then the Dota 2 test client.
Mm-hmm.
We should have two different clients with different queues and everything. And one of them's just like Dota toxic and one of them's not. And it's like, just boot this one up if you just want to be a shit. Reports will do nothing.
Yeah.
You can boost and your MMR carries between the two, but you only match with other toxic people. And I know you're going to say like, well, no one would ever use the toxic one. But it's like, no, listen, you'll never go to low priority no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You like have additional options to be more of a piece of shit. There's like a there's you know, control courier, shield, deliver items, feed courier. I mean, like, just go the whole 9 miles.
Yeah.
Just make it a miserable time.
That sounds like a great game mode. That should be a custom game mode. Dota 2 toxic mode. Because, like, you can't get into low priority from custom matches, right?
That's true.
So, no, you just basically have to stop at, you know, actual... Like illegal threats, and other than that, you're fine.
Nick, I got it.
Okay.
I got a good Dota 2 custom game that's going to light the world on fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's a single player mode.
Okay.
Where you are playing with bots.
Mm-hmm.
It's a normal Dota match, and you can adjust the difficulty of it. And what the difficulty does is it adjusts the skill of your teammates and the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the higher difficulty you set it to, the better your teammates are and the worse your enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
And the prompt is, you rolled for mid and won, but didn't get mid anyway. Sabotage the game however you can.
That's brilliant. That can't be that hard also, because you just need the predetermined bots. And you have, the entire infrastructure for Dota. It's just, you have to lose instead of win.
And just, like, body block your teammates and AoEs, jack the courier over and over.
You can't Lincolns on enemies, right?
No, you can't. No, I mean, maybe we could make some changes for the purposes of this mode.
Allow using allies. Allow
sure.
Allow casting any item on any person.
I
so
love
like
it.
You could Abyssal Blade your hard carry.
This sounds so good.
This should be a game mode.
And that, you know what? Every time, like, a teammate dies and it calculates that you get, like, an assist on that,
mm-hmm.
it plays, like, 5 seconds of Britney Spears is toxic.
That'd be perfect. Do do do. Do do do. This is going to actually become something in the game.
It's such a good idea.
Because normally Valve... we'll stop talking about this. But normally Valve steals our ideas. But, like, you know, this time the community really needs to step up and take these beautiful golden nuggets we've dropped.
We could also just create, like, a separate video game and sell it on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
And just call it, like, Griefer's Tale or something. Griefer Simulator 2019. If you call it Simulator 2019, then quality doesn't matter. People will buy it.
That's true, because it's just a simulator.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To simulate something, you don't have to be accurate.
No. No. Yeah. Or it could be it could be it's Griefer Simulator, or it could be Grief Stimulator, because it makes you grief.
Grief of the Ancients, Gota? Gota 2?
Hey, guys, there we go.
No, I want to play Gota tonight. It's a Gota kind of night.
And we would, of course, have a multiplayer mode, but multiplayer modes are just 1v1. Mm-hmm. So it's, can you outgrief the other person on the other team?
That's excellent.
And sometimes you have to, like, play normally and kill them, because if they're alive, they can sabotage really well.
So it's still, like, so you still have the balance of, oh, you want to be able to kill enemy heroes, right?
Uh-huh.
Because we won't let you right-click your allies. It's just using items and stuff.
Man, Techies could, like, would be so good. In that mode?
That'd be awesome.
I wonder, like, what if you could draft the enemy team?
Ooh. Phoenix Ags, you, like, swoop up. You swoop in and take a teammate that was about to kill people. Is there an attack speed buff aura? Not really.
Drums.
I guess you would just make auras work on everybody, but that would bug. I don't know. We'll have to add some new items.
Or, like, the drums can Roche break Phoenix Egg?
I don't remember.
Because, like, if you could just, like, swoop into Roche and pick up your teammate in the middle of the Roche.
And cast Solar Crest and a Moon Shard on Roche, right? Because Solar Crest now gives, like, 70 attack speed. So you just swoop in, put those items on Roche, and then egg your teammate.
Oh. Make we're so full of good ideas tonight. None of this was on the notes. This was all just us being geniuses.
Wait. So, you know, what is it? 2 days ago. Hey, Six, do you want to record? Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm always good to talk, but, you know, do we have any notes? Do we have anything to talk about? Do we have anything to talk about?
Wow. I shouldn't have doubted us. So now that we have literally not talked about a single thing on our notes yet.
Yep.
What's up with our notes, Nick?
So let's say I got this. There was a great interview, like a text interview, January 2nd, with Liquid from, I think it was just like an internal thing. I'm sure somebody smart did this, but it's in Russian, English, and Chinese. And it's just like chilling with the boys, talking about, like, hey, this is the only roster that's actually stayed locked in since, I guess what, since GH joined, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like over two years, which is crazy for most. Major, like any major e-sport, I guess. I don't really know of anybody else who sticks together like that. Just it's not that kind of ecosystem, I guess, for most games. But it's, you know, an interview with everybody, and they talk about Dota, and then they talk about go-karting, which is apparently big in Europe. What the heck? And then, you know, Miracle's just joking around. And then they talk about who has the weirdest taste in food. And apparently Mind Control, let's see, Matumba Man says, he just has a love-hate thing with food. One day he'll like something, like onions. The next day he'll hate it, depending on his mood. And, you know, that really resonates with me.
Mind Control always seemed like kind of a weird guy. Like,
Mind
not
Control
bad,
is definitely a weird guy. Yeah. I mean, who plays Dota 2 is not a weird guy?
Me. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. You know what? Our tour is perfectly normal.
Hey, our tour is you may not like it, but that is indeed peak performance.
Indeed. Indeed.
Has he streamed again since he did the one stream?
I think he did a couple, but...
Okay, that's good. People were, you know, satisfied. They just needed their hit, and then they stopped spamming all of the internet about it.
I mean, I will say, I was never the person who was like, man, I gotta tune in for my RTZ streams, right? I was never that person.
Mm-hmm. But I don't watch Twitch at all.
It genuinely is better than watching a lot of other pros stream. Right. Just because, like, I feel like Arteezy has the most pub star DNA, mm-hmm. you know, where he just thrives like a in pure environment.
He's, right. he's not like, I don't feel like he's tainted, like he's toxic. He, like, you know, it's not that he's this, you know, he's no We Like Dota. He's no big bundle of, like, PMA, right? But he feels very down to earth that way. He feels mm-hmm. like, you know, he's not trying to be something he isn't. He's just the Babaev.
I mean, he feels like the incarnation of Heads Down Dota. Mm-hmm. He's there to play. He's not there to talk shit. He's just going to do his best until the game is over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you even watch someone like Jackie Mao stream, and Jackie can be really swingy.
Yeah.
Not just skill-wise, but also emotionally, where it's just like...
He just has a love-hate thing with Dota. One day he'll like something like...
And himself.
Like onions. Yeah. The next day he'll hate it.
I would say that Jackie's a lot like an onion. He's got legs.
Thank you for reminding me. Jackie has posted so many things on Twitter about his food recently. So I'll prepare that for Jackie's chow as we
okay. go along. Okay. All right. Fair enough. So, Nick, you've been playing a lot of Turbo, right? You feel like Turbo makes characters that normally aren't really, like, playable, playable?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're playing a lot of CK, then. You're a big CK fan.
Oh, you had to poke right where it hurts. Yeah. Why did I put this on the notes? I just put CK on the notes, basically, because for some reason, something on, I don't know, on my computer, like, CK came up, and I'm like, oh, I totally forgot about that hero. And I was spamming CK a lot before, like, the rework.
Yeah.
I would, like, I didn't play much any mage at all. I was playing, Cleave PA and CK. Basically, like, if I was actually trying hard, okay, if I was trying hard towards the end, I would actually just play 3 Battle Fury PA because it was so good. But I was playing a lot of CK when I was being, like, serious tryhard carry mode, and mm-hmm. CK was so good and or like fun. I don't know. He felt really good. I don't know if he was OP. I don't know the stats. That would be.
I mean, I think he appeals to what you look for in a carry a lot. I mean, like, I think you want to farm like crazy and mm-hmm. get big in man mode. Yes. Or split push. Like, those are the two modes. You don't want, like, you're not a person who I see, like, dance in and out of fights a lot. Mm-hmm. You're not a person, like, and you can do that. I'm not knocking your skills.
But what, you know, I'm not nearly right. as good as anybody else.
Right. What you are there to do is to, like run up to the enemy and, like, slam your shoulder into them and then just start punching them in the face.
Yes. Nothing makes me happier than just not doing a smart initiation. Like, you know, it's very satisfying. Like, you know, Jack, he plays a lot of Ember Spirit, right? Our friend Jack. And, you know, to watch him play, if I'm spectating, it's like, boy, he is just zip-zooping all over. He's doing so much damage. Wow, that's amazing. How did he not die there? He killed the entire enemy team. That is mm-hmm. very fun to watch. I'm not really good at Ember Spirit. Like, whenever, a lot of the time when I play Ember Spirit, I just don't feel good. I'm like, where's the damage? I don't understand. So I just don't use them well at all.
Yeah.
And it's just such a good feeling to just walk up, not have a smart initiation, not have a great, you know, outplay and, oh, now you've changed two people. Just walk at people and then they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And just having, you know, a Bloodseeker who's been, like, killing your supports all game, and finally you emerge from the jungle, and you shrug your shoulders, and he comes and he starts attacking you very quickly, because he, you know, killed somebody recently, or somebody's low. And he attacks you very hard, or very fast, right? Or maybe he has a Radiance, it's like, oh no, people miss when they attack me. And you just bitch slap the guy. And he, you know, you have a heart, you have an armlet, and he just doesn't do any damage. And it's like, oh no, and now I'm gonna run away, and then you have your stun, and then you had your W, you relocate. It was such... And then you had, you know, a crit that also lifestealed, so you're even tankier. He felt so good, CK.
And I feel like that kind of playstyle is part of why, like... I mean, so there are, if we're being honest, there are two reasons you and I... Three reasons you and I clicked as hard as we did. One is, I think, just personality, right? Mm. I think we get along. We have similar interests, we have similar sense of humor, generally speaking. The second is, boy, I needed a host for Bottlecrow. But the third reason, and the one I'm actually getting at, is that style of carry play is extremely what clicks with my style of support. Mm-hmm. My style of support is like be in the way while my carry's farming, be a nuisance until they're ready to fight, and then dance around the edge of the fight, giving them every buff I possibly can.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, like, I remember, like, a game where we didn't have what we wanted. We had, like, I remember a game where I was playing Dazzle and you were playing Axe, and our carry just was not getting it done. But we were fat. And so we were just running around, and you and me would call, like, five people.
Baby, can't you see I'm calling?
And just, like, I just drop a solar crest on you and drop the, you know, the old R, the weave, and it just, like, we just keep that fight going forever. And it was very much emblematic of, I think, the way our teamwork is effective.
Yeah, it just, like, it causes havoc over a long time, like those long, drawn-out team fights. And to be big and beefy and managing that battle, that's, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really thought about it. That's definitely, you know, something I very much enjoy. And I feel like it's at least much more rare in this meta than it has been for a while, I feel like.
I feel like part of it is that people, like, I mean, with the exception of Huskar, I feel like the raid boss phenomenon is not as much of a thing.
Yeah, or like it's... To be able to get there is very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah. Like, I'll still have the games where it's like, okay, this feels like old school, or like I'm a hard carry in my lane, and my biggest feat is to, like, manage last hitting while my enemy is in the lane. It's not like, oh, can I get a single last hit while my enemy is in the lane? Because most times I play carry, it, like, 70% of the time it feels like, I don't think about last hitting. Like, I'm not trying to, cancel my animation and, you know, make sure I get this last hit before this person does. It's like, will I die if I walk up to the wave to get a last hit?
Mm-hmm.
And in that kind of situation, it's just like, you'll never get there, right? You'll never get so much bigger than other people.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But hey, in Turbo, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Make your dreams come true. Buy an Ags on Oracle. Buy an Ags on... OD in an Octarine and just keep your teammates permanently imprisoned.
It's all so beautiful.
Turn your Wi-Fi off, talk to people. Whatever that meme is. Yep.
What's the latest with Suns Fan, Nick?
Well, this might have even come up when I was looking at artifact stuff. Suns Fan put out a big old post on his website talking about his past year. Talked about all, you know, the tournaments he worked at, and then he talked a bunch about Captain's Draft, that one only LAN we had in NA, in the US last year, I mean, that I went to, that was very interesting, very fun. And we knew it was a bit of a slog, and they didn't really come out net positive on that one. He made up a bunch of the money, but still was somewhat in the hole, which, you know, it was a shame. There was a lot that went wrong with the tournament just in terms of, you know, things they couldn't necessarily control, which was a bummer. Yeah. And then he's talked about, you know, he's been getting big into the artifact scene, I guess. And right now, not a lot of people are playing artifact. So one of the things he talked about is, like, you know, he's in for the long haul, I guess, with artifact. He's going to... You know, not that he's giving up on Dota, but he's, I don't know. I feel like we've had a few of these posts or, you know, talents kind of going or leaning towards this direction. It's like, you know, not necessarily giving up on Dota. It's just, you know, stepping back from being an on-screen personality, like LD completely stepped off from doing in front of the camera stuff, right, for the most part.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is kind of... What Shannon's up to now. He's going for artifact. So we'll see how
I will say he's the only one that I've seen who's been like, hey, I'm taking a bit of a break from Dota. I think it's time for me to step back and just go whole hog into artifact. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's already like Moonduck, I think, and BTS have both like done artifact stuff. So I think he's streaming mostly Artifact now. I think he says he's going to play some Dota too. But, you know, he runs Artifact Cinema. So, you know, Dota Cinema. And Artifaction, which is their Artifact podcast.
Yeah. There's an Artifact podcast?
Yep. Artifaction.
Okay.
Artifaction.gg.
Sure. That's fair.
Yeah, it's with Slacks, Cyborg, Matt, Knoxville, and Buka, I think it is.
Huh. I like most of those people pretty well. Maybe I should give that a listen.
I haven't listened to much of it. I don't think I've listened to anything just because it was an Artifact podcast, but I don't know. I should try it out.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I think Slacks is at a point where he can afford to invest in a thing that isn't necessarily doing great because he's sort of established enough, and I think
Slacks
that's
is
cool.
A god amongst men. He's
I meant
ascended.
To say Suns fan. Excuse me, but you're dangerous. I'm loving it. We say Slacks more often than Suns fan on this podcast.
we are one in the same.
I guess, like, I feel like how this is gonna go is that they're gonna give Artifact more than anyone else, including Valve, and then they're gonna bounce. And they'll be okay. I think they'll come out of it, you know, not in trouble, but I don't think this is gonna be a big successful venture for them.
I have that exact same feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope that's not the case. I hope Artifact is good for, you know, however it turns out, is good for the people who like it, and more people like it, and, you know, all their stuff that they're working on is good and makes them money and makes them happy and all that good stuff. I don't have a lot of hope for that, or, like, I don't think it's very likely, I guess. Uh-huh. But, you know, I guess we'll see. I don't know. Artifact has not a lot of players right now, and I think there's been so many garbage posts on the Artifact subreddit, I don't want to talk about it, but, like, I think it definitely has a lot of problems in terms of, like, we're talking about with Dota being a fun game. It is actually important for it to be a fun video game, it turns out. So
yeah, I think maybe what they need is, like, a mode. Like, one of the problems I feel like is that the game just takes a long time to play, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have these big emotional swings. And what if there was a turbo mode?
Yeah, like a mode that's faster. We could call it... There's no good pun here. Just go with turbo. Stay on brand. You're right.
Artifast.
Artifaster. Arta gotta go faster. There could be different modes. Artifact. Artifast.
Sonic the Artifact.
Be great.
So... I think that's, you know, there's potential there.
Yeah, but I am kind of, you know, I don't know. Suns fan is, he feels like a stable force. He feels like, you know, a rock in the Dota 2 scene. He might not be, he's not the most popular. You know, he talked about, you know, he wasn't invited to TI, and that sucks, like, for any talent, right? Mm-hmm. And, I can understand why. You know, he even says, like, all the reasons, you know, likely why, and, you know, I understand that, but he feels like a rock, a constant, you know, not necessarily the most flashy or most important person, but he's kind of like Slacks, like Purge, like, you know, Shiver, like Red Eye. I don't know. It's just, when I think of Dota 2, you know, that's a name that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when people like that leave the scene, you know, like when Merlini's like, guys, I got to get a real job. This isn't working for me. You know, it hurts. You can understand all you want, but it's like, oh man, you know, something I like is kind of leaving the scene or dialing down.
Yeah, I don't know. As I say, I feel like my feeling is Suns fan will come back to Dota, and, like, it, you know, I feel like this Artifact project will probably last longer than I think, but will still not be the breadwinner.
I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, speaking of people leaving things.
PyCat is out of OG.
Yeah.
He I think for a few months here was playing with him, right?
Yeah, not too long.
I don't remember. Yeah, but, you know, they released OG Being Night released a post saying, you know, basically their team chemistry didn't work. That's what they said. So who knows?
It feels like PyCat is one of those players who's been in the pro scene for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I could totally see it. Like, it seems like the more established people, it would be easier for there to be personality clashes, right?
Yeah. Or just, you know, if people do things differently in terms of, like, I don't know, even like schedule, right? Or your routine. Mm-hmm. Like, Navi's routine could be much different than OG's current routine. And, you know, practice, eat, whatever, how much structure you have, how much free time, where do you live, what can you do, how much you practice, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or even just like the feedback loop with like coaches must be massively different.
And I feel like compared to like a lot of like player cuts we've seen, like the bottom of this press release is like, so there's no tail being like, look, listen, PyCat's really great. And it was really great to have him, but it just seems like it wasn't really working. And I hope he does well. And then there's a quote from PyCat being like, man, this was a great opportunity and it's too bad it didn't work out, but good luck. It really seems amicable.
Yeah. Or, you know, incredibly professional, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's also true. We're dealing with people who are, listen, it ain't NA.
You don't want to release a twit longer about your team stats? Six?
I can't wait till Ritsu leaves Penguins and we get to get whatever the fuck that's going to be. Right.
That'll be awesome.
Because, I mean, listen, I'm not predicting failure for that team. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying we're not going to be saying Penguins in the same way we say EG a year from now.
Who knows what the future holds? Oh, Suns fan is still doing fails of the week, though, by the way. If he stopped doing fails of the week, I would go into a deep depression.
Up.
I would.
No, you'd step up. You'd take over.
I would step up. I would email
you
Slacks.
And me. We'd be like, hey, Slacks, we're going to give you a demo reel.
Fails of the week.
Oh, gosh. You're going to make me try, and I'm going to do a bad job. No, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it right now.
Fails of the week.
You want to know a fun, way too personal story?
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of antidepressants right now, and I have been for a couple of days. So I don't have it in me right now. I'm sorry.
We'll try our best. Imagine if people have no idea what Fails of the Week is, and we're just like... Bloop.
I mean, it feels pretty self-explanatory to me.
It's a stupid thing Suns fan does when he opens the YouTube... show? What do you call things on YouTube?
I'd say show.
Okay.
Or you could say feature if you wanted to remain
YouTube
neutral.
Video series.
Series, yeah, video
yes,
series.
He opens it, and he does a funny voice. It's not that deep.
You're not that deep.
Oh!
Dunked on. Anyway. We've gone for a while. You want to kick it to Jackie's Chow?
I think it's time.
Nick, Jackie's Chow is...
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Jackie's Chow.
It's all you this week.
Really?
This is... I mean, like...
No, it's not, though.
You took the charge. You wrote down all the notes and didn't talk to me about any of them, though I have some IDs. Okay. IDs? Ideas.
IDs?
Wow. Words.
So you have some... Are you trying to sell IDs to underage broccoli?
I'm trying to sell IDs to, like, to myself.
This floret doesn't seem... old enough to buy this can of Bud Light.
There's nothing here, Nick.
No. Have you clicked onto the link for Jackie's Twitter?
Have I looked at Jackie's Twitter account before? Yes, Nick, I have.
Just go onto it so we can scroll
right
through
now.
The feed together. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the first restaurant The most recently chronological. Hold on, got it for the record. 12:25 p.m. January 7th, 2019. It's a picture of three plates. They each have a large scoop of white rice. Two of them have fried, deep-fried crispy beef in a brown sauce, a dark brown sauce, and one of them has, like, stir-fried vegetables in a light brown sauce. Yes.
Yeah, I would say that beef looks like it's got some, like, onions and chives, perhaps, in there.
Mm-hmm. It looks good.
It looks all right. It looks like some just, like, classic stir-fry, you know?
Yeah. I think he's in Japan. I don't know where he is right now. It's hard to know.
Hmm.
Let's progress. Right, unless you have any thoughts on it. You
know. No. I kind of don't understand why we're doing this segment this way at all.
I don't know. It's just he has three plates in front of him, right?
Uh-huh.
He has one set of silverware on one of the beef plates, right? But uh-huh. Then there's two plates that are just, there's just nothing. It's just the food. And there's no other, like, place settings on the table.
So I can solve this one very easily. Okay. I can see this one very easily. Mm-hmm. Because I have been in this position myself.
Okay.
I have been like, oh, great, food's here. Let's eat. And I, like, take the first bite. And then I put down the silverware and I say, oh, I'm dipshit. I was supposed to take a picture. And so I'm the only one who's taken a bite yet. And everybody else is like, oh, okay, I'll step out of frame. I'll move things so it looks nice. But you already got your fucking silverware dirty because you're a dipshit. I'm not projecting on Jackie. I'm saying this is what I do because I'm stupid.
But, like, you have... This is a thing that would be done in a restaurant?
What?
Just, like...
There are two people...
So everybody's food comes out, right? It's nice and steaming yes. hot, right? And uh-huh. then you say... You take a bite. Oh, this is... Hold on, everybody, wait. Let me sure. assemble all of your plates together. Please step out of the frame. Remove.
There are two
all
people eating
things.
Here, Nick. It's not that much of an assembly.
It's three people, though.
No,
I would think.
No, it's not.
No.
Two people have beef, and then they're sharing the veggie stir fry. I'm calling it.
But like, this isn't a family style thing. It looks like.
No, otherwise, it's not. The rice but also, was it family style when Jackie ordered like
three
McDonald's burgers for himself?
I guess it's just it feels like. There's always this subtle element of, like, avant-garde to everything Jackie tweets. It's just, like, subtly wrong. I'm, like, always looking for the non sequitur. And I feel like this is one of those things. And so it's perfect for Jackie's Chow. I guess your theory is probably accurate. It just seems exceedingly strange.
I mean, like, if you look at the next one.
Okay.
The next one is clearly... a full-on like restaurant like setup
mm-hmm.
and there is no one in frame
right like nobody.
And I believe that a lot of these places are empty, right? Like the table settings are empty, right?
Yeah.
But like there's no wait staff, there's no cook, there's no host. I'm pretty sure Jackie engineered this so that no one would be in frame. I believe there are other humans in that building. And that is why up on this other one, where actually you can very lightly see the blur of a server passing by, that is why I believe that Jackie has like offered instructions as to how these pictures should be taken.
I mean, you're absolutely right, I guess. I suppose you are definitely absolutely right. It's just
weird.
It's so strange.
Yeah, it's
okay,
very
so the
weird.
Next one. The next one. Here we go. Let's move on. He says, Monk S. Mukbang. 12:53, 6th of January, 2019. So there's a pot and it has two different broths in it, and then there's a bunch of like raw food around.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's a Korean thing. It kind of looks Korean, but also I don't know. But like okay, so let's describe the picture, right? So there's food and there's the pot and it's divided into two different broths. And then on the closest side in the foreground, there are two place settings with like chopsticks, a bowl, a plate, and a soup spoon, right?
Uh-huh.
But the table like supports four. So like also on the far side of the table from the camera, there are two more chairs, but there are no place settings there. But there is a large amount of food there, I feel like, for two people.
There's
there are two plates with rolled, like, just like beef. I don't remember.
Yeah, what rolled slices of beef. I feel like there's like some tripe on the table here. There's some like clearly some organ meat.
There's beef balls, I think, is what those things are. Definitely, maybe that's liver.
Yeah, that sounds right. Looking at it.
Yeah, some of the beef wraps around the enoki mushrooms are like really skinny mushroom things that are good in soup. I think that's seafood on the far right. Octopus or something?
It looks like probably octopus would be my guess.
Then there's some like greens in the back. Uh-huh. Some like dark greens in the back.
So
is that two people's food?
My guess is that this is like since we're thinking Jackie is in Japan, I think this is hot pot.
Okay, yeah. It's obviously that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, Japanese hot pot. Let's go with that. It's just, I don't like... He does say he's doing the one meal a day thing. He tweeted out, maybe I should stream doing one meal a day. And then I think Arian on the Wheel Like Dota Twitter is like, you know, responded to Jackie. I hope Jackie sees us. I hope he knows that we appreciate all his food posts. Maybe this is his one meal a day. Is this Jackie eating all of this food? Everybody should have the experience of following Jackie Mao on Twitter. I wish there was a way if you were just like hashtag food or hashtag Jackie's chow so you could just filter that out because you don't need to see the rest of the
stuff. We could do that. We could just quote tweet him with hashtag Jackie's chow.
We should do that. That's a good idea.
We should probably do that.
So all you have to do is follow at BottleCrow on Twitter and that way you can get your official Jackie's chow.
And we tweet less than Jackie does.
Exactly.
So you'll definitely get all the food content.
Far less anime weeb things.
And you know what? If you're already there, if you're like, I'm here for pictures of Jackie Mao's food, you know what? We will take, if we see them, we'll quote tweet other pros eating food.
That's it.
Yes. And we'll also put like our random arguments with each other where someone adds us and is like, I think Starbursts are okay. And Nick replies like, you're a coward. And I reply like, you're a fascist. And, you know, we have our fun.
Yeah. Fun. Anyways, that's the official Jackie's chest.
You're the one who, like, fucking last week was like, oh, when I want ice cream, I just want to lock myself in the slime chamber. That's a direct Nixie's quote.
Absolutely. I love slipping around in the slime chamber, you know?
Next time the slime chamber will get you.
Okay. If you don't follow our Twitter religiously, you know, I can't imagine anybody not. We have follow-up from last... Let's move on from the Jackie part of Jackie's chow. We have follow-up from last week, okay? We talked about the Three Musketeers, and we're like, why the hell is there, like, basically two ingredients in the Three Musketeers? Well, we had somebody tweeted us, thank you to David Madsen. The Three Musketeers was introduced in 1932, okay, and originally had three pieces of candy in one package. It was flavored vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. And then in 1945, for some reason, it became the single bar, kind of like what we know.
Right. So, okay.
But they kept the same name?
They kept the same name.
For a totally different candy.
I'm assuming what happened is that, according to like surveys and stuff and like feedback, people liked the chocolate and thought the vanilla and strawberry were not very good. I'm guessing that's how it went.
I guess.
Now, that said... Or maybe it was just a money thing. I have so much respect for the original Three Musketeers now and so much lack of respect for this 1945 change of a coward idiot. Because not only was the Three Musketeers three pieces of candy, it was actually four. Because it's so genius. They actually get it. Because it is the vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. It is your Porthos, Athos, and Aramis, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the unspoken chocolate shell, which is your D'Artagnan. Because that's the thing about the Three Musketeers, is that D'Artagnan is quietly the thing that binds them all together. That's so smart.
Is this the lore of the week?
The Three Musketeers?
Mm-hmm. I think this is an accidental lore of the week from...
Sure, very nice. Sure. Very nice. I mean, like, listen, I just respect that so much.
That's excellent. I'm glad you're so passionate about the Musketeers 3.
I do have to wonder, though, what coward made this choice? Like, who is responsible?
I mean, surely they are dead.
If they're not now,
they,
I can fix that.
I have a very particular set of culinary skills. Okay.
Wait.
Oh, no.
This page describes eating them right out of the freezer. Was this originally, like, actually Neapolitan ice cream?
Why is Neapolitan ice cream not called Three Musketeers ice cream?
Because Three Musketeers is a copyright, Nick.
But is it? Is the original still copyrighted?
No, I'm saying the candy bar is. They took over the took over the copyright.
I wonder if they own the original copyright or some very stupid thing.
Did you know that in Europe, the Three Musketeers name is used for a candy bar called Curly Whirly?
I'm going to have to Google that one. Curly Whirly? Just spelled like right. Curly Whirly. Whirly. Cadbury Curly Whirly Bar from England. What? What?
It's just chocolate and caramel. That sounds okay.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, that sounds fine.
Huh. It was in English, Whirly. It was known as Wigwag. Okay. In Sweden, it was called Loop.
Loop?
And then in America, it was called Marathon, but it didn't last very long, it seems like.
Hmm.
And then, it continues. In the UK, Marathon is the name for a candy bar that got renamed to Snickers.
What?
I don't know what's... Yeah, no, it used what's to... Happening? Until 1990, in the UK, Snickers was sold under the brand name Marathon.
But I thought Marathon was the US version of the Curly Whirly.
You are correct.
Okay, but now English Snickers is this twisted weird Curly Whirly, or is it a Snickers as we know?
I think this is a Street Fighter just general Street Fighter Vega Bison situation.
You'll have to explain.
So there is a character in Street Fighter 2 who internationally is referred to as Dictator. He is a evil man who controls psycho power. He has, like, charge moves. He does the kick. He does, like, the psycho crusher. You know all that shit, right?
Okay.
In the original Japanese release, his name was Vega.
Hmm.
Because the boxer's name was M. Bison. Then when it came time to release it in the United States, the Capcom USA tugged their collar and was like, if you call that M. Bison, Mike Tyson's gonna sue the fuck out of us. And they were like, okay, then we're gonna cycle the names so that now this fucking, like, dude with, like, this Spanish guy with a claw whose name, what is it in his, I don't even remember what his name is in Japanese, but basically they cycled all their names around so that Vega is the claw guy. Balrog is the claw guy in Japan, but Balrog is the boxer here, and then Bison is the dictator here. They cycled all the names around.
Sometimes I wonder if we are the podcast that bests, like, throughout the duration, tries to get people to stop listening. Surely we're the best at that. No, very interesting. Huh. That's very, very strange.
Yeah.
We have to, like, can we call Cadbury, you think? Like, on air?
Did you know that Snickers has sponsored the wrestlers Enzo Amore and Big Cass?
I did not know.
World Wrestling Entertainment wrestlers, and they're sponsored by Snickers.
By Snickers.
You know, the other instance I know of. You know, I don't think we can because I don't think they care about us.
Okay.
We might be able to get sponsored by DNL.
What is DNL?
Ooh, you don't know what DNL is. Oh, this is great.
Dynamic numbers.
Okay, so do me a favor. Google 7-Up.
7-Up.
And look at that logo.
Okay.
Now, flip it upside down.
Oh.
And now it looks like it says DNL.
Oh.
Which was in the 90s a spin-off of 7-Up. Because 7-Up is a lemon-lime-flavored soda, but DNL is a lime-lemon-flavored soda.
What?
And it was the drink of an alternative lifestyle, and what? They put DNL ads soda. For it in snowboarding games, and were like, we're the real shit.
That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
It's wild.
What a incredible. Okay, now I'm sucked down the rabbit hole.
As such, people the product turning itself their was in many ways the polar opposite of 7-Up. While 7-Up is caffeine-free, colorless, and comes in a green bottle, DNL contained caffeine, was colored vaguely similar to the green of 7-Up's bottle, and came in a clear bottle.
It sounds like Mountain Dew.
it was a lot like Mountain Dew.
That sounds good, though.
It was fine.
Hey, you've had DNL?
Of course.
Wow. What a cultured podcast host you are.
I like to try various sodas. I have for ages now. And DNL was, it was like a lamer Mountain Dew. So I would not, it was certainly drinkable. I would not recommend it.
Well, it's a good thing you like to try different sodas, because something is coming in the mail. The delivery date is very broad, but something is coming in the mail to both of us. At some point in Jackie's Chow, we will talk about a soda.
I just like, I'm going to start making my roommates open all packages when I'm not home for the inevitable mail bomb you're sending me for the Twizzlers Red Vine argument. It took you a long time to get your revenge, but...
That's when the Twizzlers monster comes out under the bed.
Christ.
Yep. To the psycho thing. Yep. Damn. Okay. We're winding down here.
Mm-hmm.
Our last, we don't have anything left in the tank here. Let's just talk about one more thing.
Okay.
Right. So on Slack, in our channel that we have with some of our friends, we have a food channel.
Yes.
And you said that you had, what was it here? Something potatoes.
I had home-style hash brown, sort of the loose, shredded style of hash brown.
Ranch potatoes, you say?
I was referencing something else. I had was home-fried potatoes.
Okay, yeah.
Sure.
Was it like somewhere between home fries and hash browns then, it sounds like?
No, I was basically, what I was supposing is I had home-style hash browns, just regular, like the kind you'd get in a diner. Okay. That I'd made. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know what to put on these. I have had ranch potatoes before, which is like home fried potatoes with like ranch powder or something on them. And I was like, I wonder if I could put ranch dressing on this? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it because I was scared.
You didn't? What? I thought you did it.
No, I did Cholula.
What is Cholula, by the way?
Cholula is a... it's not really a hot sauce. I think it's labeled as a hot sauce, but there's no real spice to it, honestly. It's like a vinegar, like,
I have
seasoning
that.
Blend. Yeah.
I understand good. Now. Yeah, Cholula's good. It does need more kick, though, for me.
Opinion. It's a little weak.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. Because I was going to say, you know what that sounds like you're doing? It sounds like you're putting cold ranch dressing on hot hash browns, and it sounds amazing.
I'd heat the ranch up first.
Crazy. What do you mean you'd heat the ranch up? You're gonna like get out a little ramekin and you're gonna put your tablespoon or two of ranch dressing.
Haven't you ever had it in the microwave? Have you ever had pancakes with syrup and you just put the bottle in and you microwave the bottle? It's fine.
The entire bottle of salad dressing of it's perishable
possible.
Maple
I just
syrup
win this
is
argument?
Not generally
That's
perishable.
A possibility.
Okay. Yeah, the entire bottle of ranch dressing.
No,
and then you
that.
What?
You're
you put
right.
it back in the fridge?
I would put cold ranch dressing on it, but that's not like I wouldn't do it because I want hot and cold. I would do it because it comes cold.
Okay.
If it had come room temperature, that would be fine. I would be happy with that.
But it would have been good because it was cold.
Because of flavor, not because of like temperature contrast.
But it would have been good because of the temperature contrast, too. And also, by the way, this reminded me of a meal. Maybe I've talked about it before. I think my German grandmother and I made this one. Imagine boiled potatoes or baked potatoes. And then you put a giant scoop of cottage cheese on it. That is such an incredible meal. Mm-hmm.
Why?
Fucking fuck. God damn it. We're supposed to wind down here. It's so good.
I just wanted,
just like a bundle of carbs and protein and salt. And like, have
I talked about my bachelor special on this podcast before?
What? It's the ramen sandwich or something?
Yes.
You don't even boil the noodles, right?
No. Yeah, it's just the brick of instant ramen with peanut butter on it.
God.
So actually, now that you say, like, oh yeah, no, I put cottage cheese on baked potatoes, I smile and extend my hand and I say, ah, friend. Welcome home.
Welcome. It is so good. I haven't had it in a while, but it is so simple. You can even do the microwave potato thing. Like, put a potato in the microwave for 5 minutes, like, cut it open, and then put a giant, like, two scoops of cottage cheese on it. It is so good.
I'm going to go ahead and recommend you don't microwave the Bachelor Special, though. That sounds bad.
No, it... What about some cottage cheese on there, though? Or some ranch dressing, sorry.
I don't think that would work.
No.
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 And I don't think recording this podcast for any longer is going to work either.
Yeah, I think we're pretty tapped out on... I mean, we might have more content. I don't know that we have a lot more patience for the ideas that are being offered.
Listen, we have two people still listening, and they're like, okay, you know, I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to listen to the end, or like, I'm driving. I don't want to reach down for my phone.
You ever just take a scoop of cottage cheese and then put Cholula and ranch dressing on it?
Thank you to Ashley Ryan, aka Zvimmy, for our podcast art. You can commission something at twitter.com/Zvimmy or probably patreon.com/Zvimmy. Jeffrey Bryce, aka Promoti, gratefully each week lends us a music pack of his. This week is probably Harmonies of New Bloom, which you can find in game in Dota 2, or you can go upvote in the workshop, Rhythms of Rift Shadow Ruins, and the other good one,
Highlander.
I like Highlander as well. We're at BottleCrow on Twitter, or you can email me at nick@bottlecrow.com.
And until next time, folks, remember, if you have a kid and they want to make slime, but you can't get glue, because, by the way, one of the primary ingredients in slime kits is Elmer's glue, but often stores are sold out of it. I would know this because of my position. An effective substitute can be cottage cheese. Peace out. Please don't do that.
That robot voice was so good, though. You have to agree.
It was pretty good.